God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are tired and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with my daughter today, Valerie Shepherd. We've been talking about children. She is the mother of six, expecting number seven in December. And I'd like for us to talk today a little bit about children and responsibilities, Val.
I have a letter here that asks the question, should we let children be children? Because it seems to be the society's norm or the way of thinking of treating children in ways that actually rob them of the very best that childhood means. In other words, society is giving more and more entertainment to children that is adult planned, and that is spoiling children, I believe. This lady says, "I had always thought letting children be children to mean preserving their innocence, wonder, and enthusiasm. Yet today we begin when they're babies to dull that fresh eagerness with passive, adult-contrived entertainment. I had thought it meant encouraging and channeling their fertile imaginations, but how soon we stamp them out and replace them with the vain imaginings of someone else who is highly paid to do so. Letting a child be a child, I thought, meant being a good steward of his or her dependency, his trusting, teachable spirit, and using that opportunity to teach, train, discipline, work side by side with him. Today, don't you think we've thrown out God's plan for a parent-child apprenticeship experience, which blends the best of what it is to be a parent with the best of what it is to be a child? Maybe in a similar way that a good marriage blends the best of what it is to be a man with the best of what it is to be a woman. And in its place, left our children with any of a wide variety of high-tech babysitters that are experts on how to wrap the packages of things children need but don't put anything worthwhile in the box." Well, I really agree that society is trying to find more and more ways to entertain children. I was just talking to a grandmother this week who was crying because she was going to have to take care of her granddaughter, who's 4 years old, who is a brat, she said, because she is entertained all the time. And the grandmother's daughter-in-law had said, "You'll need to take her to Disneyland because she'll be bored at your house." And so the grandmother was crying because she said, "I don't think I have the strength to last all day through Disneyland and keep control of her." She said, "I have to be really firm with her or she'll run away from me." And I just felt so sorry for her because the mother of this four-year-old just finds everything and anything to try to keep her child occupied without actually giving her one-on-one quiet training and teaching.
Is this an only child?
It's actually one of two.
So the mother is just desperately trying to drum up things all the time.
Right. Uh-huh.
And if this is true with mothers, it's even worse in daycare centers, isn't
right.
it? Talk about highly paid
mm-hmm.
experts and mm-hmm. constant adult input, and the children are regimented to mm-hmm. all do, you know, now we're all going to crayon, or we're all going to do sandbox,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that I'm going to get 10 letters from people saying, "Oh, no, I know baby care centers where they don't do that, and each little individual may choose his or her own form of occupation." Well, that may be true, too, and that's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's an excellent letter.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have something else you wanted to read?
Well, this business of indulging our children, she says we've backed ourselves into a corner by indulging the self-gratifying tendencies of children. Of course, they are selfish, while at the same time perverting their play instinct with passive entertainment. For example, watching TV is definitely passive entertainment. Now, it seems as though we keep making the self-fulfilling prophecy that children won't swallow anything that's good for them, whether it's work, good books, or music, or spiritual truth, unless it's first jazzed up, dressed up, candy-coated, degerminated, or otherwise disguised. And my first thought is I think of stories from the Bible that are watered down and also made into, quote, relevant stories where the child is a modern-day child. Instead of telling the simple biblical story just straight from the Bible, whether we read it or just tell the story just as it happened, I think children need to hear it as simply and as clearly as possible without the extra jazzing up and dressing up.
Okay, so letting children be children, how do you do that, Val?
Well, I don't entertain my children a lot, mainly because I don't have time to do it, but I really believe that children are more contented with fewer toys than they are with more toys. So over the years, we've gotten, almost every year, we've gotten rid of more and more things and seen that the younger children, the children under five, play perfectly happily with very, very few things, with their imaginations is what they're playing with. And I also believe that children, no matter what age, as soon as a toddler is toddling about, can be taught to do one or two small responsibilities. And as they get older, they get to do more and more responsibilities. And so from the time a child is maybe 18 months old, 16 months old, they can start setting the table, they can start clearing the table, they can start putting things away from a dishwasher, they can empty waste baskets.
They can 16 or 18 months.
I would think so, yeah.
I'm sure that people are gasping, Val, just absolutely gasping. Back to this business of having simple toys, I think some of our listeners have no idea that you grew up with jungle Indians to the age of eight. Can you tell us what your toys were?
I don't remember that I had more than a doll from the States, but I didn't even play with the doll that much. I played with sticks and making little huts with sticks and leaves, and I played with building a little fire and pretending like I was a mother and cooking over this little fire. I played in the river a lot. We often caught small fish with our hands and then cooked them in our little fires. We just had endless hours of imaginative play, but no toys.
No toys at all. And the Indian children had no idea of toys. Tell your audience, Val, these people that are listening so kindly to us today, about that hour in the afternoon, speaking of children having to entertain themselves.
Well, I really believe that there should be a quiet time for everybody after lunch. In fact, I read of a mother that still does this with her teenagers, and the daughter was thanking her mother for always having that quiet time because she loved to have special time every day to be able to read. And so if a child can't read yet, I believe they can have several books and they can just sit and look at them for an hour if they're not sleeping. I believe in trying to make children take a nap at least until the age of three. My daughter that's 2.5 now some days takes naps and some days doesn't, but I still leave her alone for at least an hour and a half where she plays and talks to herself and sings. And she's usually in her crib. Sometimes she's on my bed, but she's on her own for a while. It also helps me, of course. Every mother wants to have quiet time. And I take a nap. I usually take a 10 to 20-minute nap, and then I do whatever other reading or whatever other thing that's in my room that I need to do. I don't usually go down and do laundry or cleaning during that time.
But aren't they constantly getting up and coming into your room and saying, Mama, is it time up yet? Can we get up now? I don't know what to do.
No, I start out with saying you must not leave your room until the timer rings. I often have a timer. Or I say you must not leave your room until I come and tell you that quiet time's over with. And they obey, but they have to get spankings up until they understand that they're not allowed to leave their room.
And if a mother said to you, well, my two-year-old, he wouldn't stay there for 5 minutes.
Well, I'd say you're probably not disciplining him strongly enough and being clear with what you expect.
How do you get across one simple message like that to a, shall we say, 18-month-old?
Well, I remember with mine just looking at them straight in the eye and saying, you must not get off the bed. If you get off the bed, mommy will come spank you, and or you must not open the door. You must stay in here. If you come out, unless it's to go to the bathroom, and usually they're not potty trained at that time, if you come out, mommy will have to spank. And they stay in. Of course, they've gotten spanked, and then they've had to stay in after that.
They get spanked the first time they disobey?
Yes.
They get spanked the first time.
Uh-huh.
So they get the message that mama is serious.
And I mean what I say.
I mean exactly what I say. And I have had young mothers ask me, how in the world can you make a two-year-old obey? I've tried to say that I think the most important principle is letting the child know that you are dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never been dead serious before and you've made a habit of yelling and raising your voice and repeating the command 25 times, then they say, well, isn't it too late? Then I say, no. I would say, go home, or if you're already home in your kitchen listening to this radio program, you could say to Susie, I have just learned something, and we are going to do it differently from now on, and look Susie straight in the eye and say, from now on, when mama speaks or when I speak to you, I expect you to obey me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't obey me, you will get a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I've had to do that not so much with direct disobedience as with disrespect, when I've allowed disrespectfulness to come out of their mouths and I've ignored it or not even realized that it was disrespect. And I've had to go back to them and say, look, I've allowed some of this to go on without realizing it, and I want to ask your forgiveness.
Thanks so much, Val, for being with us today.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.